of the series called Blessed to Bless. And this whole series is rooted in, we're talking more about stories from the life of Jesus, but all of the messages that we talk about in connection with stories about Jesus, all of those are rooted in this Old Testament text from way back in Genesis chapter 12, first book of the Bible, really early in our, all of our stories about God's interactions with people. God came to Abraham and said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And then God said, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And this blessing has happened in many different ways. The best way, the biggest way, the most obvious way has been Jesus. But throughout history, God has been using people to bless the world. And even now, God uses us and wants to use us to bless the world in the name of Jesus, the ultimate blessing in the world that came through this people that God was working through. So we've been looking at some different ways to bless the people around us. We talked about beginning with prayer and how that is so important, and we're going to see a little bit of that indicated in today's story. We talked about the importance of listening to people around us. If we want to bless people, we need to listen to them and understand their experiences, their stories, their needs. We talked about eating with people and how eating with people is part of the mission that God has us on, of blessing the world. And just now I saw that somebody brought some donuts and left them on the table out there, and I just had a couple of bites. I didn't want to eat the whole thing right before preaching, but it was good. I had that. There was eating and serving too. Somebody served. I don't know who served me, but thank you. Thank you. Today we're talking about serving, how we can bless the world in the name of Jesus by serving people. And we serve God, we also serve each other, but we want to serve people beyond God and this community of God. We want to serve even people who don't know God, people who don't follow Jesus. And next week we'll finish up by looking at story. But today we're talking about serving. And there is an intimidating, very academic book that I was going to bring with me and read from to you, but I forgot it and left it at home. But it's from a series called Berenstain Bears. And I think the title is something like The Joy of Giving. And it's a Christmas story. And in this village of bears, everybody is preparing for a Christmas pageant. And all the little bears are getting ready for the play. And in the midst of this story, in addition to preparing for the play and doing the play, there's the side story of one family. A brother and sister bear and their parents and brother and sister bear's little baby sister, I believe. And they go shopping as a family. And brother bear has some money. And sister bear has some money. They've been saving money. And they are there shopping with their parents to buy presents for each other. And so one parent helps one buy for the other sibling. And the other parent helps the other one buy for the other sibling. And both of them are thinking something like this: I want to get something nice for my sibling, but I hope I have some money left so I can buy something for myself. And the parents have a little bit of discussion about that. You know, they need to learn the importance of giving, and, well, let's wait and see how they learn it. Then after the play, they open Christmas presents, and they're happy about that. And then they end up giving their extra money to help the poor, to help people who have fewer financial privileges. And there's one coin left, and even the little baby sister gets to put some money in the bucket. At holiday times, we think about giving, loving. We think about serving. Giving is a type of serving. There are other ways of serving that we might even think about at other holidays, like Thanksgiving. But serving is something that's more than just a holiday thing for us. Serving needs to be a way of life. Something that we do on a daily basis, just as opportunities come with the people around us, whatever their needs are, whatever they're experiencing, and if we're living in relationship with them and God, and we're listening to them and God, then we can act when those opportunities come. We can serve. This morning, I want us to look at the mission of Jesus in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. And then I want to look at a story of Jesus doing what his mission says that he came to do. And that's in Mark chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. And we'll look at three P's of missional service. I don't frequently come up with three P's or three C's or three Q's or whatever. But there's a book that was helpful in preparing the sermon that I'll mention later that had three P's. Actually, it has four P's, but I'm sharing three with you. And then I want to look at some exceptions that might not be exceptions, and that will make sense, hopefully, when we get there. But first, let's look at the mission of Jesus. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so if we're going to follow Jesus, that mission somehow needs to guide our lives too. If we're following Jesus, then in various ways, our lives need to follow the same mission that his life followed. And we might serve in various ways, but we need to serve and not just sit around waiting to be served. Of course, it's more convenient to just let other people serve us, right? That's the big reason that going to a restaurant might be preferable to eating at home for a lot of us. My wife likes to eat at home. Now, we both cook, so this is saying nothing about her cooking or my cooking. But she really likes to eat at home, and I really like to eat at restaurants. And one of the reasons that I like to go to restaurants is that I don't have to do anything. I can just sit, and I'm treated like a king if the server wants a tip, right? But Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And he even came to give his life. This mission is about more than us. When we come together on Sunday mornings, we don't come here just to be served and to be catered to and to get what we want. Whenever we come, we have these expectations of what Sunday morning should be like, and what the preaching should be like, what the singing should be like, how people should say hello to us. And by the way, we have lots of different expectations, and there's no way that Barry or I or anyone else could please everybody in any of those areas. And we have to realize that we have those expectations. But this is not primarily about me or you. This is about God and the mission that God has called us to, of blessing the world in the name of Jesus. This is about more than us. We need to be a people that serves. From that mission, let's look at a story that illustrates this service to us in Mark chapter 7. Starting with verse 31, "Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hands on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears." Jesus has really interesting healing techniques in the Gospels. "Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. So, from this story, this author named Dave Ferguson, in his book Discover Your Mission Now, presents a few P's, and I'm using three instead of the four that he uses, and I've tweaked them just a little bit. The first one is proximity. If we look at verse 32, we see there's some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hands on them. Jesus ministered with and to people who were around him, people with whom he was in close proximity. We see this in the story right before this one, when Jesus listens to a Syrophoenician woman and has this really interesting interchange with them. And I'd love to preach a sermon on that text sometime. The teens have heard me teach on it in class a little bit. The trend that we see in the life of Jesus is that he served people who were there. Wherever he was, he listened to and loved and served and cared about people who were near him. And it's important for us, if we want to serve the world in the name of Jesus, it's important for us to think about the people who are around us. If we think about really big needs, big things the world needs, we can be really overwhelmed. But we can start with the people who are right next to us. Not just here on Sunday mornings. Not just in our families or in our homes. But in our schools. In our workplaces. In our other activities and organizations as we interact with diverse people who come from a lot of different backgrounds and have a lot of different needs. And you might not be able to serve in every way, but if you pay attention and you listen, you can pick up on people's needs and see where you can serve, where you can be a representative of Jesus. The second P is personalization. Look at verse 33. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers in the man's ear. Jesus, another P word in Dave Ferguson's book is perspective. Jesus was perceptive of the people's needs and responded in personal ways. You know, I mentioned that he had just healed somebody in the previous story. Or at least I mentioned the previous story. He does heal someone. And he heals someone in this story, and his ways of healing are different. In fact, he heals in a lot of different ways. He responds to people's needs in a lot of different ways. He serves in different ways. He doesn't try to treat all people as if they were identical. People have different needs, and people need to be served in different ways. And Jesus didn't treat this guy just as one of the crowd, but he took him aside away from the crowd and served him as an individual. In fact, he was so perceptive of this man's experience that he separated the guy from people who would ridicule and mock and maybe even make that interaction between them difficult. Because this, in this first century world, there were a lot of thoughts about sickness that we don't necessarily have now, at least in our culture. And people got sickness and sinfulness kind of combined. And so people didn't like to have anything to do with people who were sick, especially if they'd been sick for a long time. They saw that as some kind of curse from God as a response to some kind of sin. Jesus takes the guy away from the crowd. He treats the guy in a way that lets him know that he is seen as a person by Jesus, a real human being. So Jesus served the people he was in proximity with. He took a personalized approach, and he served with power. And we have to read carefully here to get this, but look at verses 34 to 35. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. Now if you read through the Gospels, and if you're a Christian, then you read Jesus doing powerful things, and it might not come across as really surprising to you because Jesus is the Son of God, right? And as the Son of God, Jesus can do all kinds of stuff. But you notice that in this healing story, Jesus is acting as God's Son, but there's more here. There's something about the relationship between Jesus and the Father. Jesus looks up to heaven. And I don't think that was just out of exasperation or frustration. There was a connection between the Father and the Son. And as we serve with people who are around us, people who have unique needs and need to be treated as the individuals they are, when we serve in those ways, we need to rely on the power of God. We need to maintain that connection with God. And we need to literally and figuratively look up to heaven because we're not acting completely on our own. Well, Dave Ferguson, that I mentioned, has written a really helpful chapter on this that I get a version of these P's from. But he has a perspective that I'd like to share another perspective on. And I'm not saying that his perspective is completely wrong or you shouldn't pay any attention to it. Just there are different ways of looking at things. He points out that in verse 31, Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. And he says, see, Jesus was sent by God to this specific place. And just like Jesus, sometimes we might not be in the place where God wants us to be. And so God might send us somewhere else. And I think that is entirely possible. But we also need to recognize that where we are at the moment is a place where God wants to use us. You know, and we've talked about divine appointments. Divine appointments are opportunities that God puts in our lives so that we can serve and bless people and glorify God in those interactions with people. But you know, every single moment can be a divine appointment if we are living as God's agents in this world and we're being perceptive to people's experiences and the movement of the Spirit. Every moment can be a divine appointment. And every place can be a mission destination, a mission point where God has sent us. In fact, I have no reason to believe that God hasn't sent me to where I am right now for this specific moment as a part of the bigger mission that He's doing in this world of blessing and serving and loving and healing, and transforming brokenness into something beautiful. So, even though our locations change, like in Mark 7:31, and even though we know that God can send us to other places other than where we are, we need to keep in mind that God can use us where we are at any moment. In fact, I think the only way that where I am right now can be where God doesn't want me to be is if I have turned away and stopped paying attention to God. And even then, God could still use me where I am. I mean, God talked through a donkey, right? So I open myself up to what God wants to do through me. And I want God to send me wherever I'm supposed to be, use me however I'm supposed to be used, put those opportunities, those divine appointments in my life so that I can serve and be a blessing to people around me. Help me to be attentive. But I don't spend too much time trying to figure out if God wants to use me here or if God wants to use me somewhere else. I figure my time can be better spent serving where I am. But if you have a lot of time for extra contemplation and discernment and so forth, go for it. I want God to use me, push me, move me, whatever, wherever I am. I want to listen and love and serve and be a blessing in the name of Jesus. And I trust that through all of that, in spite of my inadequacies and weaknesses, through all of that, God touches people's lives and reveals divine reality to them and speaks light into darkness, love into hate, healing into brokenness, and the blind see and the deaf hear in ways that I cannot imagine or take credit for. And God works in that way through all of us. Even if we choose not to pay attention, even if we choose not to listen, even if we don't believe that God works in that way, God can still do that through you. So do you want to believe and open yourself to that reality that's so beyond us but works through us to touch and transform people? Or do you want to just go through life ignoring that? I encourage you to take option A, because life is a lot more exciting that way. And it amazes me that God works through me. It amazes me that God works through some of you. But when I look at my life, my goodness, I don't understand why God keeps using me in ministry to touch diverse kinds of people in various settings. It's not because of me. I mean, I've tried to run away from the calling. I've done sins that could have separated me from God for eternity. I've changed direction several times. For a while, I even decided that I didn't believe anymore. And God still pushes me. And now, multiple days a week, I get to interact with people on a state university campus. And there are people who have no religious background at all. There are people who have some Christian background and have rejected that. There are people of other religions. There are people who are supportive of my work, and there are people who think that my line of research is ridiculous. But I am who I am. And I'm grateful for those experiences and chances that I have to be blessings to people. And even if it's something little, like helping someone rearrange furniture after some kind of research interview or something, and I'm just helping out because I'm a member of the department. Those little things can bless people. And sometimes we get so caught up, or we can get so caught up looking for the big things. You know, we might get discouraged because we don't have what it takes to change people's lives in major dramatic ways because we're not counselors or doctors or miracle workers or, you know, and we can't fix broken relationships and we can't fix poverty. We can't fix hunger. We can't fix fatherlessness. But you know, we're in a city where those things and lots of other problems are, and we can be blessings to people by just paying attention to little opportunities. Like opening a door, moving a chair, saying thank you. And one thing I love about this congregation is that we practice that right here. We practice that in our relationships with each other. In fact, just this week, Barry told me that we are great at serving each other. And I love that. And that can equip us, prepare us, to serve beyond this little community of faith, this family, as we bless people who aren't following Jesus. So let's be about the Jesus mission of serving. Let's keep in mind the three P's and serve people who are in close proximity to us, wherever we might be, wherever God has placed us. Let's take a personalized approach to each individual, and let's serve with the power of the Spirit that God flows through our lives. Father, we come to you as a people of service because you are a God who serves. And when we look to the life of Jesus, we see him being a blessing, and one of the ways is by serving people. Father, let us be the Jesus people you've called us to be. Help us to serve the world in the name of Jesus, to bless the world in the name of Jesus, so that you will be glorified and the world will be transformed into the glorious vision that you have for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.